So, when I first read this gospel, I asked myself this week, I asked myself, am I saved? You know, are you saved? And if you've ever met a devout evangelical Protestant and they don't know you, one of the questions they will ask you when you get beyond the mere formalities of polite conversation, you start to talk about serious things, they will ask you the questions, are you saved? Or have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And some of us Catholics might answer this question with, I participated in all the sacraments. I lead a moral life, go to confession on a regular basis, and am active in my church. But when pressed to, again, answer the question, are you saved? You might simply say, I don't know. Others might answer this question with a yes, as God is the God of mercy, and of course I am saved. Honestly, I don't think a lot about being saved. That's for those really devout people and Jesus freaks. You know, the born-again type. True. I bet one of us has said that in this room.
He doesn't know why you're all laughing. I raised my hand when you said yeah. Jesus freak.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us fall into the second group. You know, often we just don't think that deeply about spiritual things or our salvation. Because if everyone is saved, if God loves everyone, why, if this eternal life question is covered, why don't I just focus on the world, the things of this world, money, property, prestige, education, and not worry about it? The problem with this is that it leads to a lack of focus on the eternal, the things that last. And as you heard in the gospel today, someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And take note how Jesus answered this question. He didn't answer it directly. He doesn't say a number. He doesn't even give specific actions or liturgical prescriptions or temple observances. He simply says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. By this he means it's difficult. To me, it implies discipline. I think we know that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is not easy. And Jesus is confirming this in this statement. We must strive. Notice he doesn't say, just do what you want. You'll get there eventually. For like all great teachers, he gives us some direction and he gives us some motivation. For failure to strive can mean death, certainly spiritual death, or at least deep unhappiness. He tells us here to get to work and don't worry about being saved. I find it interesting that we in our society today will spend all kinds of money on youth sports. We believe that to have our kids be able to participate in competitive teams, we will get them on travel teams, you know, so they get more experience. And the practices that these teams provide are some of the most valuable sports skill building that the kids can receive. We do this in the hope that they'll play in high school and maybe play in college, perhaps a scholarship, and in some sports, maybe go pro. And even if we don't expect that, we see learning to play sports on a team as a good life skill. I know, because I've been there. My cars have the miles to prove it. And even if we don't go through all that, no parent would expect their child to go out onto the field or to try to do algebra without some schooling, without practicing some of the discipline required to get good at it. We would never just give them a ball or an algebra book and say, go for it, have fun. Everyone gets good at this just by figuring it out. The night before last, the episode of Superstore that I watched, which is a funny, stupid distraction I participate in on occasion, had this teenage mom, Cheyenne, pregnant teenager, believing that she could be an Olympic gymnast if only she wrote the dream on a card and believed. We know it just doesn't work that way. We have to strive and we have to be taught. And that discipline can be rigorous and demanding. We know we must be shown a path, shown the narrow gate by many good teachers in our lives, from school to sports to work. Most of us know that there are lots of false starts in learning in any one of these areas of life. But we often find that until we enter through the narrow gate, we do not find success. Think of the narrow gate as finding the sweet spot in a baseball swing, or the zone one gets in when your mind when you're perfectly focused at the task at hand, with all the knowledge that you need when working or studying. So the question that kind of comes up for me is, why don't we put as much time and effort in becoming proficient in finding the sweet spot in the practice of spiritual disciplines as we do in worldly things? Why don't we provide spiritual coaches for our children, you know, that would give them the skills to go pro as a spiritual adult? Back to the idea of being saved. You know, Jesus doesn't answer this question, you know, with an abstract concept. He could have said a few, and perhaps that could have led to despair or a life of trying to be so perfect that one could become overly scrupulous and miserable. Or if he had said many, could that have led to the idea that we have today? That since God is love and he is merciful, why put forth effort in spiritual things? But no. He gives us a concrete answer. He says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And what are we striving for in this life? Where does our treasure lie? Is it to be saved, to have eternal life, to go to heaven? And what does it mean to be saved, have eternal life, and go to heaven? According to Bishop Robert Barron, it means to participate in the very life of God. It means conformity to love. It means surrendering to the grace of God and allowing that grace to invade every aspect of our life so that grace flows through us into the wider world. That's what it means to be saved. So if you ever ask that question, that's the answer. Being saved is not some proclamation we can make. It is a gift from God. But we have a part. We can accept this gift. We can participate in this gift. It is freely given. We can do nothing to earn it. But paradoxically, like a lot of spiritual things, this gift does require us to strive to effect the constant renewing of this gift through spiritual disciplines that are difficult at times, whose goal is to simply waste time with God. We need to remember that the spiritual life is not a theory, not some abstract idea. We have to live it. It is a journey that never ends, a journey that we take with Jesus as teacher and our guide, whose ultimate goal is reached by entering through the narrow gate and experiencing the grace of God in our daily lives. Peace be with you.